Brother Boyd passed away a week ago yesterday. Actually, a week ago last night. And all of us were stunned at the news. I think, I can't speak for the family, I'm sure it's much more difficult for you, but for all of us, we were just stunned and grieved at the sudden loss of our brother. And this is the first chance we have to get together to pay our respects and to pray for him in person. I know many people have gathered online and I'm sure have sent messages to the family, but it's different when you're online. It's better to be together in person, and we have Brother Boy's remains here before the altar, so we will also bless him. By the way, I call him Boy because that's what everyone calls him. I know his name is Felix Maiolin Romano, but I don't know anybody who ever called him Felix, so I just call him Boy. Now, normally when a loved one passes away, well, I should say normally, that is in the old days, there would be a wake, and then there'd be a funeral, and then there'd be a burial, and that's how you do it, the wake, funeral, burial. But you know, everything has changed, partly because of the practice of cremation, but especially because of the pandemic. Brother Boy had to be cremated right away, and there couldn't be a wake. So now his remains are here and we're having a funeral, but his remains will stay here for a week. So it's something like a wake for a week. I don't know when his burial will be after that, or maybe it's not scheduled yet. He'll be brought to Nueva Ecija for his final resting place. I think it's beautiful that we can have this Mass for him here in this chapel, because Brother Boy spent so many hours here. He came here for so many Masses. He was here almost every day for years. He really has a place here, together with Baby. This is one of his spiritual homes. Well, the whole church was Brother Boy's home. He loved the church. He loved the parish. He served in here in Mother of the Church in different ways, different organizations over the years. He loved his home parish in Kabarbaran, in Mindanao, Nuestra Señora del Candelaria. And he would, as often as he could, he would go home to his home parish for their fiesta on February 2nd. So this year, on February 2nd, he'll rejoice in heaven to celebrate that feast of the presentation. But this place, maybe I'm being selfish, but I associate Boy with this chapel. This is where I saw him, and this is where he prayed, this is where he served. He often served here in the sanctuary. He often served in the men's choir. In fact, it was the choir that really attracted him to honor him in the first place years ago. And he served in the choir and served the members of the choir faithfully for years. Even as the choir shifted to the younger generation, Boys served the boys. He was one of the boys and would drive for them. So I just think it's very fitting that we honor him here. Now, as I said, there's a wake and there's a funeral and there's a burial. Usually the wake is the time when you recall the person's life and you tell stories about him and you kind of look back on the gift of a person's life, the ups and downs. And the funeral is a time not to look back, but to look forward, to pray for his eternal life. You say, we give thanks for our experience of Boy's life, but we're not here to cling to what was. We're here to lift him up to God so that he can enjoy eternal life. That's what we do here. Usually, the special readings are chosen for a funeral, but we didn't do that this time. With Baby's permission, we decided to use the readings that happened to be for today. This is Saturday of the second week of the year. I remember actually last Saturday we were here. We were all stunned that Boy had been taken home to God, and we had chosen a theme for last Saturday's Mass. Get up and follow me was the theme. It was all about Levi sitting at his customs post and Jesus coming along and saying, "Follow me." It was so striking because Brother Boy's background was in customs. He was a customs broker. So to have the Lord say, "Get up and follow me," it seemed like that's what happened last Friday. The Lord called him, "Get up," meaning not just get up from work in customs, but get up from this world and follow me into eternal life. So that's was one way we tried to console ourselves last Saturday at the thought that even though it's a huge loss for us, huge loss for the family, for Boy, it's a homecoming, a chance to be with God. So that was last Saturday. Well, this Saturday we have this first reading from the second book of Samuel. It happens to be about David grieving the loss of two men whom he loved, Saul and his son Jonathan. So it seems very appropriate for us here who are grieving the loss of our brother. David expresses his sorrow. He honors Saul and Jonathan, but he also expresses his grief that they have died in the battle. And I think that's what we're doing. We honor Brother Boy. We are grateful that we've known him. He had many beautiful qualities, and that makes our grief deeper because he was a good friend, and he was a generous man and a servant of the church, a servant of the poor, a servant of the Anuin. And this past week, as you might have noticed on the Facebook or among the conversations online, Boy did a lot of things that people didn't know. He was a hidden servant of the poor. So that shows his beauty, not only here in Anuin, also in the parish, also in his home province, and for many people in many ways. So that makes our grief a deeper. And this is what David expresses in this reading. He says, how can this has happened? How can the warriors have fallen? How can the warriors have fallen? How can we bear this loss of these people so dear to our heart? And this is, I think, what we experience with Boy. How can we bear this loss? His death leaves a huge gap in our lives. I can't even imagine what it is for his wife and children and grandchildren, but for all of us, it's a huge loss, and it's a grief. Today's gospel is a very unusual one, and it would never be read at a funeral mass, but it happens to be the mass of the day, and I think Boy would really like this. He had a playful sense of humor, you know. He's a very he enjoyed life, and he loved the liturgy, and he would spend many hours pondering the Word of God, really deeply reflecting on what the Word of God meant and how it applied. In fact, if you ever wanted to get into a conversation with him in social media, he would send you long, long texts about the readings and about what they might mean and about the mystical implications. So in this reading, Jesus is so busy, he can't even eat, and his relatives come, and they want to take him out of this ministry, and they say he is out of his mind. Now, maybe they were serious about it, but at least we who have been involved in the men's choir, we use this as a bit of a joke, because we could often say about anyone we disagree with, "Oh, he's out of his mind." And Boy was the victim of that kind of teasing very often. I'm not the only one who teased him for being out of his mind. But he had a lot of controversial and unusual positions, as you probably know. Socially, politically, and theologically, he had his own unique spirituality, his own unique understanding of things. He even had a kind of mystical interpretation of a lot of events. And so we could tease and say, "Oh, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind." He had that name. He called himself Golgarian, which for him had a very deep meaning. But for everybody else, it was just a strange word. And then he had that stone which he, you know, for him had great deep significance because he saw different sacred images in it, but everybody else, it was just a rock. So it was a, I mean, he was playful about it. He was serious. He was serious about his relationship with God and his service, but he was good-natured in taking the our kind of teasing. But I thought it was funny to get this gospel. If Jesus was accused of being out of his mind, so Brother Boy was in good company when we would tease him, because even Jesus was accused of that. And as it is now, now that the Lord has brought Boy home, I think we can recall that when God judges us, he doesn't judge us according to our politics or our intellectual gifts or our thoughts about society. He judges the heart. He judges us based on our love. And in this regard, Brother Boy scores very high marks. I think all of us know this. He was a man of a big heart, a very beautiful heart. And because he had that great heart, he would do almost anything for anybody. He was always willing to serve. He was always there. And in that sense, you could say he was out of his mind too, because he wasn't concerned about himself. He was really genuinely concerned, especially about his wife and family, but also about the poor. So that's to his great credit, and I'm sure the Lord is happy to have him in his presence. So as we gather here for this Mass, we do as David did when Saul and Jonathan died, we grieve. We grieve because this is a big loss. We console one another. We offer consolation to one another. That's why it's important to gather in person when it's possible like this. But we also give thanks that God planted in Boy a likeness to himself, his own heart, gave him a heart of love. And we have confidence that God will have mercy on him, because Boy had mercy on us. Boy had mercy on those in need. He was a very generous giver, and so he's in a good position to be able to receive the generous love and mercy of the Lord.